This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Joe Lipari for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We're reading from the latest issue of Science News. The articles we'll be reading today will include: Scientists developed a sheet of gold that's just one atom thick. A second article is: Scientists are getting closer to understanding the sun's campfire flares. And a third article is: This orangutan used a medicinal plant on his face wound. And we'll read other articles as time permits. So to begin our first article, which is entitled "Scientists Developed a Sheet of Gold That's Just One Atom Thick," it's unclear what, if any, exotic properties goldine has. This article was written by Skylar Ware and is dated May 1st, 2024. It begins, "Meet graphene's newest metallic cousin, goldine. For the first time, researchers have created a freestanding sheet of gold that's just one atom thick. The development, reported in the April 16 Nature Synthesis, could someday allow scientists to use less gold in electronics and chemical reactions," says materials physicist Lars Hultman of Linköping University in Sweden. "The gold sheet may also exhibit exotic properties like those found in other two-dimensional materials. Goldine holds promise as, quote, a great catalyst because it's much more economically viable, unquote, than thicker three-dimensional gold," Hultman says. Quote, "You don't need as many gold atoms to get the same function," unquote. Gold joins a rarefied group consisting of several elements, including carbon and phosphorus, that have been formulated into 2D sheets. While two-dimensional sheets of nonmetal elements, such as carbon-based graphene, can be prepared with relative ease, making 2D sheets with metals such as iron and gold is harder, Hultman says. In gold's case, atoms tend to form clumps rather than flat sheets. Hultman and colleagues first made a three-dimensional material called titanium gold carbide, whose structure contains two-dimensional sheets of gold. Then they etched off the surrounding material with a potassium-based solution, leaving goldine behind. Quote, "The good news was that we were freeing goldine," unquote, Hultman says. Quote, "The bad news was that as the goldine was freed, it started to curl up on itself like a scroll," unquote, unquote. Keeping the goldine sheets flat required the team to add a surfactant to the etching solution in which the sheets floated. The team hopes to apply similar etching strategy to make 2D sheets of other metals, such as iridium and platinum, says co-author Shun Kashiwa, a material scientist at Linköping University. This article was written by Skylar Ware, who was the 2023 AAAS MAS Media Fellow with Science News. She has a PhD in chemistry from Caltech, where she studied chemical reactions that use or create electricity. Our next article is entitled, "Scientists Are Getting Closer to Understanding the Sun's Campfire Flares. Magnetic cancellation is thought to underpin the diminutive solar phenomenon." This article was written by Adam Mann, and is dated May 1st, 2024. Scientists are starting to figure out what causes the tiny eruptions on the sun called campfire flares. Campfire fires were discovered in 2020, when the European Space Agency's Solar Orbiter probe snapped close-up photos of our parent star and spotted diminutive flickers of ultraviolet light. The flashes resemble more massive explosions, such as solar flares and coronal mass ejections, but are only a millionth of a billionth the size. Using observations of 52 campfires, solar physicist Navdeep Pansiyar and her colleagues tracked these bursts from the beginning. The team noticed that nearly 80% of the campfires were preceded by a dark structure made from cool plasma, Pansiyar reported April 9th at the Triennial Earth-Sun Summit. When this cool plasma rises, a brightening appears underneath it. The brightening turns into a campfire, unquote, says Pansiyar of Lockheed Martin Solar and Astrophysics Laboratory in Palo Alto, California. Such cool plasma structures often also precede coronal jets, another of the sun's recurring explosions. The findings suggest that these plasma structures are more common than previously believed, Penisar says, and that many solar eruptions, campfires, jets, flares, and mass ejections arise in a similar fashion. Flares and mass ejections occur when magnetic fields of opposite polarities get tangled and cancel one another out, leading to a powerful release of energy. Campfires are believed to be produced via similar mechanisms, though a full understanding has so far eluded researchers. Since campfires tend to be between 500,000 and 2.5 million degrees Celsius, they are thought to help heat the sun's million-degree atmosphere, the corona. Understanding why the corona is so much hotter than the sun's surface, which is a mere 5,500 degrees Celsius, has been a long-standing problem for solar physicists. The article's author, Adam Mann, is Science News' temporary astronomy writer. He has a degree in astrophysics from the University of California, Berkeley, and a master's in science writing from UC Santa Cruz. Our next article is entitled, "This Orangutan Used a Medicinal Plant on His Face Wound." It's the first observation of an animal treating a wound with a plant used in human medicine. This article was written by Darren Incorvaya and is dated May 3, 2024. It begins, "With their bright eyes and prominent beards and mustaches, it's easy to see how orangutans got the name. Orang, quote-unquote, is Malay for person, while hutan, quote-unquote, means forest. Their similarity to humans doesn't stop there. Researchers have observed a male orangutan treat a wound on his face with a plant that's also used in human medicine. It's the first time any wild animal has been seen caring for a wound using a natural substance with known medicinal properties," researchers report May 2 in Scientific Reports. On June 25, 2022, field biologist Yulil Azari was observing a Sumatran orangutan, Pongo abelii, named Rakus, in the Suak Balimbing research area of Indonesia's Gunung Lusur National Park. The area is home to about 150 of the apes, and researchers have been studying them since 1994. Azari watched as Rakus chewed up the Ilana plant, known locally as Akar Kunig, and rubbed the resulting paste onto an open wound he suffered on his right cheek several days prior, likely from a fight with another male. After applying the paste several times over about 7 minutes, Rakus then smeared intact Liliana pulp over his injury, almost like a bandage. Akar Kunig, Fibrara tinctoria, is used by local people in traditional medicine and has a long list of known medicinal properties, including being an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory treatment. Isabel Lomaire, a cognitive biologist at the Max Planck Institute for Animal Behavior in Konstanz, Germany, and member of the SUAC project studying orangutans, read the notes from the observation and, quote, "was immediately getting very excited," unquote, she says. Quote, "He only treated this wound and not any other body part, and this was done repeatedly," unquote. Rakus's intentionality and the fact that his wound was closed just 5 days after the observation and never became infected convinced her that he was purposefully using the liana plant to treat his nasty gash. "There's a lot of literature about animals applying things to areas that hurt," unquote, says Michael Huffman, a zoologist at Nagasaki University in Japan, who has studied self-medication in primates for decades. Quote, "But this, I think, is the first published paper with details of both the chemical properties of the plant and the progress of the treatment itself," unquote. Lamara says she hopes the finding will help more people appreciate how similar orangutans are to humans and care more about protecting them. All three species of the apes are critically endangered. Quote, "It would be so sad if they would vanish from the world," unquote, she says. As we have time, I think I will read from a couple of other articles. One is entitled, "A Ruinous Hailstorm in Spain May Have Been Supercharged by Warming Seas. Giant hail couldn't have formed without climate change, computer simulations suggest." This article was written by Javier Barbuzano and is dated April 30, 2024. It begins, "A torrent of giant hailstorms in northeast Spain may have been fueled by climate change. On August 31, 2022, a brutal hailstorm struck the small Spanish city of La Bisbal de Empordà. The storm unleashed balls of ice up to 12 centimeters wide, causing widespread damage to property and crops, injuring dozens of people, and killing a 20-month-old toddler. Computer simulations now suggest that in a pre-industrial climate, the storm could not have degenerated hailstorms this big," researchers report in the March 28th Geophysical Research Letters. The study is the first to establish a link between climate change and a specific hailstorm. Quote, "In the past, it was thought that climate change could only be associated with large-scale or global phenomena," unquote, says Juan Jesus González Alemán, an atmospheric scientist at the Spanish State Meteorological Agency in Madrid. He and his colleagues had suspected that a record-breaking marine heat wave in the western Mediterranean Sea had created the perfect conditions for extreme hailstorms. The heat wave lasted 6 weeks and pushed seawater temperatures to about 30 degrees Celsius in some areas, or more than 3 degrees above normal, González Alemán says. This, in turn, could have supercharged the atmosphere with energy and moisture. It might be, quote, counterintuitive, unquote, to link hail, which in principle requires cold, to a marine heat wave, González Alemán says. But the extra energy the storm could draw from the hot sea allowed it to produce massive hailstorms by staying longer at higher altitudes, where temperatures drop below freezing, he says. Quote, "Strong updrafts, fueled by warm sea temperatures and high humidity, can suspend larger hailstones, allowing them to grow for a longer time within the cold," unquote. To see how the storm might have behaved in a world with a different climate, the researchers used computer simulations to recreate the storm under different circumstances. In one simulation, for example, the team lowered the sea temperature to the average for that time of year. In another, they also changed atmospheric parameters to pre-industrial levels, tweaking things such as air temperature, relative humidity, and wind. The simulations showed that while the storm would have occurred with or without climate change, it wouldn't have been able to generate hailstorms of the size witnessed in La Bisbal de Empordà in a pre-industrial climate. The finding suggests a connection between climate change, which is leading to more frequent and more intense marine heat waves, and the formation of larger, more destructive hailstorms. And, the researchers note, the historical data on how often giant hail, defined in their study as wider than 5 centimeters, fell in Spain each year bear that out. While storms with giant hail were once rare, occurring on average 3 days a year in the early 2010s, the past decade or so has seen a small but worrying uptick in their frequency. Climate scientist Olivia Rompanyan Martius, however, is wary of attributing hail events to climate change based on these kinds of simulations and past meteorological records. Quote, "You need multiple levels of evidence that are all robust to really support attribution statements," unquote, says Rompanyan Martius of the University of Bern in Germany. One problem, she says, is that the computer simulations used in this study can't directly compute the hail size produced by a storm. Instead, scientists must estimate a storm's hail-forming potential based on parameters such as wind speed, atmospheric stability, and air temperature. As a result, what researchers can really evaluate is the likelihood of forming a certain hail size under a particular set of conditions. On top of that, Rompanyan Martius says, the historical databases used to estimate the hail-forming potential of storms could be incomplete, making any long-term trends less reliable. Quote, "I would say the jury is still out on whether or not we can attribute individual hail events to climate change," unquote. González Alemán argues, however, that the team study shows the strong connection between sea temperature and creating the atmospheric conditions that produce giant hails. The 2022 storm at, quote, the perfect conditions to reach the maximum possible energy, and that is where the climate change comes in, because it makes these heat waves increasingly frequent, unquote. In the future, as extreme marine heat waves become more intense, people should expect more powerful hailstorms with larger hail sizes, he says. Simulations of the same storm in the context of more advanced climate change shows that hailstorms could reach up to 20 centimeters across, nearly twice as wide the largest hail that fell on La Bisbal de Empordà. Quote, as we learn more about these extreme events, it becomes clear that we need to adapt, unquote, Gonzalez Salomon says. Quote, at this point, this is more about adaptation than anything else, unquote. Here's a small health and medicine note that's entitled, 50 years ago, margarine's healthy, quote-unquote, reputation began to melt away. Excerpt from the April 20th, 1974 issue of Science News. This brief article was written by Aaron Garcia de Jesus and is dated May 1st, 2024. The excerpt, April 20th, 1974, from Science News, is entitled Margarine in Your Heart. It reads, hardening of the arteries causes 90% of all heart disease. The medical community has encouraged people to eat foods with less cholesterol and with polyunsaturated fats rather than the saturated fatty acids. Down with eggs and butter, up with polyunsaturated vegetable oils and margarine. Now margarine is being accused of being a worse villain than butter or eggs. The update reads, margarine's heart-healthy reputation melted away because of artificial trans fat. The ingredient, found in processed foods, raises cholesterol levels and was estimated in 2006 to cause up to 1 in 5 heart attacks per year in the United States. New York City soon restricted its use in restaurants, which reduced the city's rate of heart attacks. Eventually, the United States banned artificial trans fat, and the World Health Organization called for eliminating it from the global food supply by 2023. The world did not meet that goal, but at least 57 countries have bans or restrictions in place. Today, U.S. margarine has negligible artificial trans fat. Now we'll read from an article entitled, A New Approach to Fighting Wildfires Combines Local Knowledge and AI. Potential Operational Delineations, or PODs, are helping U.S. land managers. This article was written by Nick Ogasa and is dated April 30th, 2024. It begins, on June 4th, 2021, amid flowering saguaros and prickly pear cacti, a wildfire bloomed in the Sonoran Desert in central Arizona. Its nascent flame scorched on non-native grasses, desiccated by a long, severe drought, and the fire was further nourished by the weather. A nearby weather station recorded a temperature of 36 degrees Celsius, 97 degrees Fahrenheit, and it was so dry that the blades of firefighters' bulldozers used to clear brush sparked small flames as the heavy vehicles dragged on rocks. By June 7th, the wind had blown the wildfire east-northeast into the Pinal Mountains in the Tonto's southern reaches. The flames ascended rapidly, overcoming rock cliffs, defying the expectations of veteran firefighters, Lada says, and sweeping through vast, unbroken stretches of chaparral. When the fire reached the highest elevations, crowned by pine forest, it swallowed those too. The Telegraph Fire, as it's now called, grew so intense that it began to create its own wind, its rising heat generating a convective force that sucked in air from the sides, Lida says. Quote, of all the fires I've worked on, Telegraph was the nastiest, unquote. On the fifth day, the fire neared the city of Globe, but then it had already consumed an expanse that exceeded the area of Globe 5 times over. The blaze would go down as one of the largest conflagrations in Arizona's history, engulfing some 700 square kilometers of land, equal to about half the area of Phoenix. But the fire would not swallow Globe. Instead, on a ridge just outside the city, the Telegraph Fire encountered a bulwark, the vestiges of a bygone blaze. 4 years earlier, Lightning had sparked a penal fire in this location, albeit under milder conditions. Recognizing the need to clear out vegetation that might feed future blazes, fire crews allowed the blaze to consume litter, seedlings, and other brush near the ground. Crews even ignited flames of their own, expanding the fire's breadth. Arriving at the Pinot's leftovers, the Telegraph fire, quote, went from a running canopy fire, where it was killing about 60 to 70% of the trees that it encountered, to a creeping ground fire, where it was killing about 1% of the trees encountered, unquote, says Kit O'Connor, an ecologist at the Forest Service in Missoula, Montana. Eventually, the fire halted about a kilometer away from a neighborhood in Globe's outskirts. Had it not been for the Pinell fire, the Telegraph fire would have burned into town, Lotta says. Quote, there's nothing we could have done to stop it, unquote. The decision to let the Pinell fire burn had been guided by a new blueprint for wildfire management, known as Potential Operational Delineations, PODs, section the landscape into zones, within which fires can feasibly be contained. The boundaries are determined before the fire season starts by a mixture of artificial intelligence and local knowledge. A POD network can help land managers identify opportunities to harness wildfires that ignite under manageable conditions. The hope is that if subsequent fires erupt amid extreme conditions, there will be less brush available to fuel their fury. Quote, if you have a fire that's rushing towards homes, and there's no burned out area or fuels cleared around those homes, they're basically guaranteed to be lost, says O'Connor, who has helped construct PODs throughout the West. Today, POD networks sprawl across the West from California to Washington and as far east as Minnesota. That coverage includes some 70 national forests, as well as state and private lands. But as these wildfire blueprints spread, they face challenges. Keeping them updated to reflect the changing nature of the landscape is a crucial but difficult endeavor, and whether they will protect the interests of the indigenous people who have managed the landscape for centuries remains to be seen. But the need for a new strategy is massive. Climate change and decades of misguided fire management have steadily stoked the wildfires in the West. Compared with 4 decades ago, the average area burned in by Western blazes each year has more than doubled. During the region's record-breaking 2020 wildfire season, thousands of fires burned an area larger than the state of Maryland. These blazes are now burning more than twice as many homes and buildings as at the beginning of this century. From 2010 to 2020, fires destroyed more than 3 structures for every 10 square kilometers burned. And scientists predict that more land and more homes will burn in the future. Working with manageable wildfires, or those that emerge in ideal locations under favorable weather conditions, to clear away dense vegetation could help reduce the risk that bigger blazes pose to homes and people across the West. Quote, we can't make fire go away, unquote, O'Connor says, but, quote, there's potential for huge benefits, unquote, in finding opportunities to use it. Well, that's all we have time for of that article and of our time today. This has been Joe Lipari for the Cincinnati Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Have a great day.